Mike.
Hello, John.
I'm John.
I'm Mike.
And you're listening to All Yesterday's Parties, yeah. The podcast about music that also involves a chair that made me sound like I farted just then.
Yeah, blame the chair. Hello. It's been a few weeks since it was lost, just the two of us, isn't it? No special guests this time.
No.
Just me and the John.
The John.
Plowing through some musical things. Should we talk about our beers first before we get down to the proper business of the
day? Yes, let's...
What are you on, John?
I am drinking, it just says milk stout, brewed locally by Bristol Beer Factory.
So not that locally, then?
Not that locally.
Local to Bristol, I'd imagine.
Yes.
That's nice.
Yeah, in the same way that, you know, this podcast is recorded locally to Zimbabwe.
Yeah. How's it taste? How's your milk stout?
It's very good.
Excellent.
Very nice.
I am also drinking a milk stout. I'm drinking a Neapolitan milk stout by Saugatuck Brewing Company of Michigan in that America.
That America that they have.
The America that they have these days.
Oh.
Yes. it's very interesting because it's actually brewed with vanilla, chocolate and strawberry flavourings.
Nice.
And you can definitely taste the vanilla and the strawberry. Not so much the chocolate, just put mainly buried in the stout.
Oh.
But you get a lovely aftertaste of vanilla and strawberry. It's rather delightful.
Nice.
Chubby.
I was tempted by that when I saw it in the freezer. Not the freezer, the fridge.
Yeah, it's not actually ice cream.
It's great. You take the lid off and there's a stick in it and you just bang it against a wall, a la Bernard Black.
Yes, with his ice, with his lolly.
His wine lolly.
Anyway.
Do you want to hear something amusing?
Amuse me, John.
Oh, dear. Do you remember all those many weeks ago when I told you about a man who was cleaning his gun and his dog jumped up?
Yes.
And he shot himself in the arm.
Indeed.
And knocked himself out on a coffee table.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember him.
Well, I can go one better than that.
Oh, my days.
Man shoots off his own penis taking selfies with gun.
Starters, use a camera. Otherwise you just point a gun at yourself, you know.
Click, click, click. Bloody.
Alright. So was he trying to take a photo of his penis?
Is
a dick pic technically a selfie?
Because,
you know, a selfie, it really is just a picture of yourself taken by yourself.
Yes.
But strictly speaking, it should be include your face. It's basically a self-portrait.
Yeah.
A dick pic is something far more specific.
It certainly is. It's not a picture of yourself.
Yeah, well, it is.
Well, yes.
It's a part of yourself. Much like your face is a part of yourself.
In which case, yes, it's a selfie.
Yeah. But was he trying to take a picture of his penis? I'm trying to give you an inroad to telling me what the story is.
A 20-year-old man is in stable condition.
20-year-old man. You already knew that, you know, he wasn't like a 30-something with a mortgage, you know, and three kids. He'd shot himself in the cock. This 20-year-old, really?
The 20-year-old man, he was posing naked with a gun, which accidentally discharged and shot off his penis.
Accidentally discharged, I think.
That's
happened to all 20-year-old men at some
point. Why would you have the nuzzle pointing anywhere near... Muzzle. Oh.
Or the nozzle. Why do you have the muzzle at the point of your nozzle? That's the question we're asking. Don't nuzzle your nozzle with a muzzle.
This is what the police said in a statement. Right? An official statement.
Right.
We've never had someone shoot off their own junk before. There was a man who shot off his foot, a middle schooler shot a guinea pig, and even a baby was able to shoot both his parents, but never someone's own junk.
Apparently, there's more people are shot by toddlers than by terrorists in America. I'm sure I saw that. It immediately sounds like a dubious statistic, but I'm choosing to believe it because it's just going to annoy a lot of right wingers. So,
hi.
Hiya. If you're listening, Trump supporters, suck my cock and balls. My nozzle, in fact. Nozzle, my nozzle.
This is what the guy the poseur said in his statement. He said, First I posed with this badass becoming...
You're going into Eurotrust territory, aren't you?
There is a reason for this.
All right.
First I posed with this badass look on my face, said the man in a falsetto voice. Then I thought the only thing girls like more than guns is men without shirts on, so I took my shirt off. To stand out from the rest of the shirtless gun selfies, I decided to take my pants off because I'd read online that women like it when random guys send them pictures of their dick. Where did you read that? Where did you read that?
Oh, dear me. He's been dared to do this by his mates. They've gone down the bar, the local bar, you know, and they've got a big several buckets of Budweiser and some shots. And one of them said, you know what the chicks love? A man with his dick out and a gun.
He found it off by saying, I was trying to thrust my hips around and do the helicopter like my penis. Like my penis is another gun, but then the gun shot off instead of the camera. So he actually went to take the photo, but he activated the wrong hand.
Oh, no. So he had one of those remote buttons in one hand and his gun in the other. Oh, dear. Shot himself at the touch.
Police dropped all endangerment charges in exchange for him not filing a complaint about them, expressing relief he won't be able to reproduce.
That's fair. You know, when you were doing that voice a minute ago, it did make me think of Donald and Davy Start. Oh, Davy, man. I've shot me something in about this.
Would you, number A, take a photograph of the incident? Or would you, number B, ring for the emergency services?
When you were helicoptering your penis, did you let off a little Tommy squeak? Mr. Gusting, have you ever shot yourself in the nuggets? I think that needs a sting.
I think it does need a sting. I see what you did sting. There. Oh.
Right. Anyway, yes, you may remember prior to the Gary trilogy, the Wilcox saga, we were doing a thing where we came up with our own entries into a top 100 chart, a la the Rolling Stones top 100, but specifically albums that have been released in the since the turn of the millennium. We managed to do one episode where we talked about some of our nominations.
Yeah.
Queens of the Stone Age. Yes. And Antoinette by the Tread of Dead.
Worlds Apart.
Yeah. But we're ready to talk about some more, aren't we, John?
We certainly are.
And we've got more to talk about, gosh, yes. And we're going to throw in a bit of a random factor. I've written down my remaining artists on some pieces of paper. John has done the similar with his.
I have.
And we're each going to pull one out. And then we're going to shoot it, and then we're going to look at our pieces of paper. Mm. There we go. I've got one here, John. Are you ready? You got one?
I'm just shuffling them.
Right. I've got little. There we go. That was mine.
Something for all the ASMR listeners out there.
That was lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh. Right. Take your fucking time. I have Yola Tengo, specifically the album I Am Not Afraid of You and I Will Beat Your Ass.
Mm. And I have Nuina Palo, and it was Fires.
I believe it was, yes, it was Fires.
I was just waiting to see if there's going to be a look of anxiety in my anxiety.
This isn't going to be the same as when I gave you Noi. I listened to everything but the album that I gave you. So who's going to go first on this one? Do you want me to lead the charge?
Go for it.
Mm. Yola Tengo, then. We're a band I didn't really that well into at the time. Mm. They released a kind of best of, the Prisoners of Love, that my wife Laura actually bought for me because she thought I'd like it. She thought they'd be well up my avenue, and she was absolutely bob on.
Yes.
The vast majority of that, I got the 2-disc version. There was a 3-disc version,
mm-hmm.
which is a bit mad. But the majority of the 2-disc version I found absolutely wonderful. But then they came back pretty much out of nowhere. They'd been dormant for a long time.
Yeah.
And they came back with I Am Not Afraid of You and I Will Beat Your Ass, the album. And obviously, I saw the title and thought, brilliant. I have to listen to this. Having recently heard a big swathe of their back catalogue on that that collection of their best works.
Yes.
Thought I've got to hear this. By crikey, oh blimey, it's a hell of a piece of work. It covers so many of the styles that they've done throughout their lengthy career, whilst never really feeling too wayward. I mean, it starts with an absolutely enormous track. Again, Gary is going to be listening to this and pointing out that all I ever seem to talk about is ridiculously long tracks. But Past the Hatches, I Think I'm Good Kind, is simply remarkable. It's very krautrock.
Yeah.
And it's the repeating riff that just keeps on going. And just beautiful noises going on. It's a psychedelic wonderment. And so you kind of expect more of the same with the rest of the album.
Yeah.
And while there are a couple of tracks that deliver similar things, Room Got Heavy specifically, that's quite a psychedelic track. It doesn't really settle on one style.
No.
For too long. I mean, you get things like Mr. Tough, which is a bit silly, a bit funky, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Beanbag Chair, very poppy, very cheerful little number. Sometimes I Don't Get You, which is a great little almost ballady number. And every track is at least the equal of the one that went before it, despite being a whole new genre of music, while keeping within the kind of alternative rock, which is a very broad umbrella. As I think we both know. I found it utterly remarkable. What did you think, John?
For some reason, it didn't gel with me. And I can't figure out, because with everything that's on that album, there isn't anything on there that ought to disagree with me.
Mm.
There's lots of ingredients in everything that's on the album.
I think if it's not gelling with you, because I know you've probably only really had the time to give it a once-over, much as I have with the stuff that you nominated yourself.
Yeah,
I think listening to it once is not the best way to get the most out of it.
No,
because of the ever shifting styles throughout the album, it can feel a bit unfocused.
I think,
but that's just their style.
I think it put me off on the wrong foot when it started.
Mm.
Because, as you say, it's like 8 minute long.
I think it's over 10, I think.
There's a few tracks that range between 8 and 12 minutes, aren't there?
There's that at the start, and then there's the last track, I think, is something in the neighbourhood of 15.
Mm.
And others are a lot shorter. They're kind of more in the kind of 3 to 5 kind of ballpark.
Yeah. I mean, I liked Past the Hatchet, I Think I'm Good Kind when it started, but it kept in the same vein and didn't really change for the duration of the song, which for me was a tricky way into the album. It made for a difficult introduction. and there are other, I mean, I remember Beanbag Chair is one that stands out as one that I enjoyed, and I think
it's an adorable song.
And I think Mr. Tough, probably.
Bit of a falsetto, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, I didn't feel terribly connected with the vocals and the lyrics.
Mm.
Didn't reach out and grab me all that much. So there was a lot of stuff going on musically that I really enjoyed, or really enjoyed portions of, before it started outstaying its welcome to me.
Mm.
So I was a bit kind of baffled. I was baffled because there were all sorts of ingredients that are exactly what I love listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just confused because it wasn't giving me the same reaction that I have had with stuff.
That's just the way it happens sometimes, isn't it? It's theoretically, you can like an album just fine. On paper, you can read about what it's like and think, wow, that sounds amazing.
Mm.
But then you actually listen to it and you're like, oh, this isn't... You know, for me, I think Anthony and the Johnsons is a perfect example of that. Because that kind of semi-operatic, kind of in a chamber pop kind of thing, and the slightly maudlin vibe and the bit dramatic, I should be eating that up with a label. But no, I listened to it and I was like, I see what you've done there. And
I am indifferent to it.
Utterly, completely indifferent.
Yes. There's a video game that came out, last year, called The Division, based on Tom Clancy.
Yes.
And everything about it was great individually.
Mm.
It looked wonderful. The actual mechanics of the game were great. The idea that you could club together with a bunch of people to complete a mission was fun.
Mm.
But the missions were just dross.
Mm.
They were just waves of bad guys, and there was no rhyme or reason to how you kill them or how you defeat people. And so what... this is purely my experience of it. But everything about it that should work, for some reason, made into something that just didn't sit quite right with me. And yeah, you're probably right. I think it could well be... I just need maybe another listen of it is probably in order, just to maybe refine my opinions on it. But
or maybe not. Maybe you just don't like it.
Mm.
Yeah, it happens.
It does happen.
I mean, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
You don't. I think the world's going to keep on turning.
I think it'll manage. And this is probably... This could be the first time that... we've actually had not a completely differing opinion, but...
You didn't hate it.
No.
You just didn't like it to the same degree that I do.
Yeah.
And... I suppose that the first time around with Emmy the Great, I didn't like that to the same degree as you, but I still thought it was good.
Yeah.
It was a perfectly good album.
Yeah. And actually, I agreed with everything you said about that.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Just, I suppose, for any negatives I had, you didn't feel that was...
I didn't think it was unwarranted at all, No.
And I kind of agree with what you're saying. I mean, Pass the Hatchet, I've listened to that track. Oh, Christ, I couldn't even count the number of times I listened to that track, and I absolutely adore it. But I do accept it does a lot of the same thing for a long time. Ages.
Yeah,
And the only really thing that changes here, they get the vocal over the top, and the just kind of a constant wail of a kind of guitar over it just creates that kind of psychedelic vibe.
Yeah,
and I can just listen to that for hours on a loop. But I can perfectly well accept that other people will not be as ready to consume it. In quantity.
But it's interesting as well, actually, with a lot of tracks that are quite long. You actually start to become used to where different things happen.
Mm.
And the more the familiar they are, the less it feels like a really long song.
It reminded me very much of retrospectively, actually, because I heard Pass the Hatchet, I Think I'm Good Kind, before I heard this other track I'm talking about, Hallow Gallo by Noi.
Yes.
It reminded me, when I heard Hallow Gallo, I thought, oh, this reminds me an awful lot of Pass That, but obviously the chronology is very different, with Noi being back in 76 or 77.
Yes.
A long while, it's 25, it was in the 70s anyway.
Yeah.
And of course, Yellow Tango being in the mid-noughties. Yeah. I think you should drop a sting and we should talk about your album.
Right, oh! Oh, I must be stupid.
Go.
So, what we have for my selection is Fires by Nui Napalo.
Yeah.
And it's an album that I remember listening to for the very first time. You probably heard the story, if you listen to this regularly, you probably heard the story more times than you'd care to. But
you encountered this while you were a crew boy, didn't you?
I was
having a miserable time.
The
crew music, so
booking on stock in crew in 2005/2006, and the original edition of this album came in a delivery, and I laughed because Nerina is photobombing her own album cover. Mm. So you've just got her cheeky, out-of-focus face right in the foreground with a perfectly focused background. Mm. And it just really made me chuckle. So
I also had the copy of the album that I bought. Mm. I found it whilst in Kendall. Ah. I found it in an Oxfam.
Oh!
Along with Jenna Hayes, one of the other albums, you know, mate. They're just there on the shelf, like, well, this is too perfect. for about £2 a throw, but I'm having these. Mm. Yeah, it was a different cover than one I've got. There was kind of a little kind of picture frame.
Because what happened was, the original edition came out, did quite well, and she got blah 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 record company.
She got blah blah blah. She recovered?
She, no one ever recovers. So the original edition came out and garnered a fair bit of interest. I mean, there's I think it's Idaho on this album that earned her an Ardor Novello. But yeah, there was a bit more interest from the record company, who then, because she remortgaged her house twice to record this album.
Blimey.
And then released it independently, and then the record company was interested in releasing it. So so we got a re-release and a bit of a promotional sort of injection. There was a music video recorded for the song "Everybody's Going to War."
Mm. I remember TV adverts for that. They included
It was in a supermarket, and she ends up in the middle of a food fight, which is a big visual metaphor for warfare and all this sort of thing.
I remember that telly advert.
And then there was a single was released, "Sophia," which. The music video actually released featured a full band version of the song that wasn't just on piano, and I really love the single version of that song. But yeah, I listened to it and then went to visit Nerina's website and read her blog entries and found that she was a writer of considerable substance. I was really entertained reading what she had to say in written form, and it made the lyrics more interesting. And I was just a fan from that point on, really. There's just a really interesting mix of music. So there's a bit of pop, there's a bit of balladry, there's a bit of quite rocky sort of indie sounds at varying points, and it's I just think she's a great writer.
Very well. Mm. Well, I'll say straight off the bat, I liked it.
Excellent.
I thought it was good.
Good.
I wasn't blown away by it.
No.
But I was entertained.
Yes.
I definitely felt like I got more than the value of my £2. Although the first track was a bit scratched. The copy of the album I had, Everybody's Going to War, it sounds fucking awful.
Purely because of the quality of the CD.
Exactly. I'm sure the tune's great.
Yes.
But the version I've got sounds dreadful.
Oh.
Sounds like, well, I was going to say it sounds like Merzbow, but I've actually enjoyed listening to Merzbow. This is something else. I shudder to describe the noise that came out when I first listened to it. Oh, no. Second track's perfect.
Yes, so from then on.
So the second track onwards, jobs are good. But yeah, I found them very, very pleasant to listen to.
Yeah.
She reminded me dimly, not directly or immediately, but vaguely of Sheryl Crow.
Right.
Insofar as you've got an artist here who's got a lot of pop now.
Yes.
But also is courting a bit more of an alternative crowd to a degree.
Yes.
I do think she has a bit more of an alternative vibe to her than Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
But, not Sheryl Crow. But yeah, there's a little bit like kind of the kind of faux country vibe every now and then.
Yeah.
So just more to her voice than anything.
Yes.
That you get from Sheryl Crow.
Mm.
But it felt less like it was deliberately courting the mainstream, and a bit more like it was an independent release, which obviously it is. I found it a thoroughgoingly pleasant album.
Yeah.
And one that I'm glad to have bent an ear to.
Yes.
Probably not one I would have hunted down off my own bat.
No.
But nonetheless, I'm very happy to have given it time.
Cool. It's interesting as well because I think, because like you say, it was very much an independent release, obviously up until the point where the record company re-released it for it. But it was a case of, from her own recollections, of she put out one album, had a disaster with an A&R guy that resulted in her getting dropped from the label.
It is funny how often in any kind of artist stories, A&R guys can turn out to be complete and total ass clowns.
Well, what she ended up doing was, by her own recollection, she ended up going on an internet forum that was like a professional one for these things, and she posted up saying, "I think my A&R man is trying to sabotage my career or something like that," and it got her into trouble. She ended up getting dropped, and she went back and she started doing an English degree, I think it was, or a master's, I forget which. But she just went back to trying to do other things, and while she was in the middle of doing all these other things, just the music actually started coming back, and to such a point that obviously he ended up remortgaging a house twice and cold MySpacing people, just trying to get.
Just it's obviously worked out for her because she's continuing to do the music. She's had recent releases.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying she had that project, didn't she?
She did a lot of
small releases over a specific.
She did.
Period of time. Which does seem to be popular with a lot of artists. I know Ash did their 12 singles in a year. Ginger Wild Hearts did his a similar thing with a digital thing. That was absolutely spectacular. Darren Heyman did his January songs, which was one song for every day of January.
Right.
So some of which are among the best things that he's ever recorded, which, given that he was the guy from Hefner, is a big deal.
It is a big...
I love it when artists do things like that, you know, challenge themselves in their release schedule, which then forces them to challenge themselves artistically.
Yes.
It's a great...
Well, it was really interesting.
It's a great thing.
She did one EP a month for throughout 2014.
So kind of like the Ginger Wild Heart. But I think, was it 2014 when Ginger did it as well? I'm sure I remember us both talking about the respective projects at the same time. He had the Gas project, and Marina had her own...
Year of EPs.
Yeah.
And what that ended up doing was, I think some of the... She picked tracks out of those, and also some other songs, a few other songs. So there's it's about a 50-50 split. But the last album she released was... There was some tracks off the EPs and some new songs with an album called The Sound and the Fury. It was a really interesting range of music. And then there was one point where she thought, okay, I'm going to run out of steam here.
Mm.
And ended up doing like a proper sort of power pop electronica. Just as a complete left turn. And that kind of gave her a fresh run of energy to do the rest of it.
It is kind of fascinating how much that her career actually seems to be, the latter day career seems to be mirroring that of Ginger Wildheart. He completely ran out of steam after the Wildhearts. They just sapped his energy an awful lot. He did some kind of solo stuff very similar to what he was doing with the Wildhearts.
Yeah.
But he does seem to be much more reinvigorated these days after having done the Mutation Project, which was some proper extreme metal.
Yeah.
Some of the heaviest stuff I've ever heard. And I've heard some heavy bloody stuff.
Yeah.
And at the same time doing this kind of loud and silly pop punk album.
Yeah.
Just all at the same time. It's like, oh fuck this. I'm really so completely left field. and now he can't seem to stop churning shit out. So it's great when an artist that you love and respect does something to challenge themselves.
Yeah.
And it's even better when it turns out to be good.
Yeah, and it succeeds.
Yeah, so obviously you're getting from Narina a lot of what I'm getting from Ginger. Old Ginge.
Yeah, yeah, it's really nice, and I've got the Christmas show coming up.
in early December.
Ginger does Christmas shows as well. Well, actually, no, he does Halloween ones these days. Okay. I think he used to do Christmas ones on his birthday bash.
Yeah.
But these days, the Halloween Hootenanny is a regular thing.
Nice.
Down in that London.
That they have.
Mm. The London they have. Have you seen those Londons? The Londons they have these days. Down by the bins.
Well, Mum was telling me about him. Stew. Have you seen the London Stew?
Full of comedians like you.
Tom O'Connor.
Tom O'Connor Stew, he's a comedian. He's a stand-up comedian like you. Don't touch that, he's not finished. I think we should stop now. We're diving to what... It's not even self-referential, is it?
I know, we're very...
It's just... It's some bizarre kind of hybrid of self-reflectivity that you just...
Did you say
hybrid? Let's just talk about what we just talked about, but like through the lens of Stuart Lee.
Did you say hybrid or hymen?
I may have said hymen or hybrid.
I'm not talking through a hymen.
I'm not sure I ever said either. No. I don't know what's going on anymore, John.
So on that
I'm
note...
I'm just lost. I think it might be the Neapolitan beer.
Yeah, you've had your strongest beer first.
I have, haven't I? I'm a fool to myself.
Oh,
well. He's only 6% though. I've seen your washing on the line, mate. you've got a 10% beer.
I've got a 10%. I'm saving that for something special. Right. Well, now that we've aired all that.
All our grievances.
Yes.
Time. So I think the upshot of it is that. Whilst we each got something out of each other's albums,
yes,
I don't think either one of us really loved them to the extent
that we loved our own.
Yes. That sounded vaguely, faintly masturbatory. Oh no, that was cut from the first episode. When I was talking about how the guy from Zero Punctuation pronounced masturbatory in a very strange
masturbatory.
Way. Masturbatory. I remember you.
Yeah,
good lord!
I think you've just
I just stood on a wire there, didn't I?
Yeah,
you had to edit it, so it ended up not coming out. I thought I was making a little callback to that, but no, I was making a callback to something you edited from the third episode.
Oh dear! It sounds like conservatory.
It does. It's such a room weight. Well, as long as it's not got too much glass in it.
Uncle Alan's in the masturbatory.
Don't look! Pull the curtains, Uncle Alan. You dirty beggar.
And on that bombshell, it's time for us to say goodbye.
Noodles.
Goodbye. You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
God, you wish you weren't.
But still, you are. And the music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by Audio Boom.
They like us. Yeah. They like one of our episodes.
Just one of them.